if more of the resources are allocated toward an immune response, then the chicken will not grow as effectively as it would if it doesn't need to allocate resources to the immune response.
Mm-hmm.
Next, all of the alloantigens don't necessarily have to do with the immune response.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible. Anatox, partnering with the world's food producers to develop and deliver innovative programs to efficiently produce safer food. BASF provides sustainable, high-performing ingredients that enhance the quality and productivity of your poultry feed. Kerry, proven on the farm, trusted on the plate. Kerry is where technology is made. The Poultry Science Association is dedicated to advancing poultry science worldwide. Learn more at poultryscience.org.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Poultry Nutrition Black Belt Podcast, where we talk about the latest in poultry nutrition research and industry trends in approximately 10 minutes or less. My name is Sam Rochel, and I'm Associate Professor of Poultry Nutrition at Auburn University and one of the co-hosts of the show. I'm very happy to be joined today by Dr. Bob Taylor from West Virginia University.
Glad to be here. I guess we'll get started talking about chicken alloantigens.
Sure.
Alloantigens are proteins that are expressed on cells. They are controlled by genes, and those genes have different forms called alleles.
Mm-hmm.
The different alleles appear in some, but not all, individuals of a species.
Mm-hmm.
The best example of an alloantigen that you and probably your listeners would be aware of is the ABO blood group system in humans.
Right.
So you can detect the alloantigens in chickens, originally detected by antisera. And that's done by taking cells of one chicken and injecting them into a second chicken.
Mm.
Then that stimulates the production of antibody, and the antibody, through a series of procedures, can be made specific such that it reacts with only that alloantigen. There are 12 plus alloantigen systems in the chicken, and they have been described beginning about 1950 through the 1960s. We have known of their existence, but we have only recently begun to identify exactly what each of those alloantigens is. The next part of interest to your listeners will be the impact of alloantigens on things related to nutrition.
Sure.
Let's go for a minute and talk about resource allocation.
Mm-hmm.
So the resources for a chicken are primarily its feed, and that feed is converted to energy, and that energy can be used in different ways. One of the major ways is growth and protein accretion. Another way, however, is allocated to the immune system. If more of the resources are allocated toward an immune response, then the chicken will not grow as effectively as it would if it doesn't need to allocate resources to the immune response.
Mm-hmm.
Next, all of the alloantigens don't necessarily have to do with the immune response.
Mm.
So the one that we think of most often is the B alloantigen, which is the major histocompatibility complex, a major controller of the immune response. But there are other systems which in some of our work, we have shown that feed conversion appears to be impacted by different alleles of the D, D as in dog, and E, E as in egg, alloantigen systems, so that there are some alleles which are more advantageous than are others.
That's interesting. And so, you know, I guess to kind of take this a little bit higher level too, even when we talk about these differences in responses, are you talking, is this impacting just adaptive immunity or innate immunity also, which we, you know, traditionally kind of think of as being the most expensive from a nutrient resource standpoint? So are there any effects on innate immunity as well?
There are studies underway. We don't quite know, but there's also some data that speaks to possible impacts of the gut microbiome as may be impacted by various alloantigens. Mm. But we still have a ways to go in understanding all of this. But, you know, over the last 8 or 10 years, obviously the microbiome has become very, very important, both in human medicine and in animal medicine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I know you've done a lot of your work over this through, you know, these divergently selective lines based on their responses. And that's helped identify and understand these. But even within each of those lines or within, you know, one specific genotype of broiler chicken, is there still a lot of variation, individual to individual variation, you think that, you know, may impact maybe the outcome or how susceptible to one disease or one environmental stressor or some type of insult in one flock at one farm versus another farm or, you know, from another breeder flock?
Well, let's think about this in two different ways, Sam. The first one is that in lines that I have used, and one example are the high and low antibody lines established by my colleague Paul Siegel at Virginia Tech.
Sure.
He has selected those birds for now 51 generations for a difference in their antibody response.
Wow.
That selection took place on a single trait, that is the antibody response.
Okay. Yeah.
At a specific time. Then you think about a commercial chicken.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got a farm growing 50,000 broilers in a house. And those birds that are growing in that house are the product of parents and grandparents that have been selected for a laundry list of characteristics rather than selected for one trait.
Right.
They're going to have some variation in many different genes, including the alloantigens.
Mm-hmm.
This may be an area of concentration in the future where we look at the different alloantigen alleles present in these broilers and see if they are having an impact on growth, feed conversion, other traits of economic importance.
Proven on the farm, trusted on the plate, let our technologies help make your production goals a reality. Learn from the experts how carbohydrates can improve nutrient utilization, gut health technologies differ by type, and how liquid smoke can light your bird performance on fire. Carry isn't just leading in animal agriculture, we're innovating it.
Very good. Well, now that's exciting. And I mean, I think this really adds, you know, I've always been interested in this nutrition by disease, nutrition by immune system activation interaction. And, you know, I think we're learning more about how to at least kind of understand it and think about it a little bit. But certainly, you know, the mechanisms responsible for these, you know, different responses to nutrition under different disease states, we certainly don't know. And this seems to be one piece of an important piece of the puzzle and understanding that better and really working towards precision feeding, maybe once we can get this sorted out a bit more.
Right.
Well, thanks again, Dr. Taylor. That's really interesting information. I really appreciate you taking the time to share that, all your work and your knowledge in this area. Thank you again for all you've done over your illustrious career in poultry science.
Thanks for having me. I look forward to visiting with you at some future time.
And thanks to all the listeners for, again, joining us on this episode. And please take the opportunity to like and subscribe on your favorite platforms or leave us a review. And until then, I will see you on the next one. Thank you.